So our text is from Matthew chapter 14, these words, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do we trust in ourselves or do we trust Jesus? Do we trust in ourselves or do we trust Jesus? Do we trust our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, or the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Put yet another way, do we believe our own word, or do we believe His? I mean, at a very basic level, that is the question our text raises, isn't it? Why did you doubt? What Jesus asked. Upon hearing the word of Jesus to come, Peter stepped out of the boat and started to walk toward Jesus, walking actually on water. Ignoring everything Peter knew about water, everything Peter had experienced in his life with water, even what he perhaps felt about water. But then Peter's thoughts, his feelings, his emotions, they took over. Peter doubted. Peter stopped trusting in the word of Jesus to come and instead began to rely upon himself, his knowledge, his experience, his emotions. He doubted, and in doubting he began to sink. We need to trust the words of Jesus. We need to trust the words of Jesus through thick and thin. Through thick and thin, we need to believe the Word of God, even in the most troubling moments of our lives. We need to have faith that what God, the Creator of heaven and earth, tells us in His holy Word, the Bible, simply is true. True for all time. True for each and every one of us, right here, right now. We can do that. We can do that, so our flesh thinks. We can do that. So even the world suggests we can do that. So even the devil affirms. We can do that as long as we put that word of God, that word of God to us in its proper context for today. But of course, the context which our flesh, the world, the devil creates in which we are to hear the word of God and believe and trust in the word of God, ultimately, what does it do? It obliterates it. The context in which we hear the word of God destroys it. What do I mean? Well, it was miraculous that Jesus came walking to the disciples on the water. Even more miraculous that Jesus bid Peter to come to him on the water, and Peter did so. And even yet more miraculous, the fact that when Jesus stepped into the boat with Peter, the wind, it stopped immediately. Understandably, taking this all in, the disciples in the boat, having seen it all, they worshiped Jesus, confessing him to be the very Son of God. Now, this is a very straightforward account, very easy to understand, even very easy to grasp, that we simply, even now, every day, through thick and thin, do not doubt but trust the words of Jesus, the words Jesus spoke to us, like, for example, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." What does our flesh, what does the world, what does the devil do? Try to contextualize it all away. For example, what if this whole incident, this entire account, had been captured on film by some newscaster hovering above the Sea of Galilee that evening, that morning, that early, early morning, in a helicopter? Follow me here, okay? God, trust me here. Trust me. What context would be created? What narrative for us to grasp what it meant? Would the point of the incident so reported be Peter and his trust in the words of Jesus, but then his doubt and so his trust in his own thinking? Well, think about it. That reporter was there. First, there'd be the breaking news of the boat, wouldn't there? Boat in trouble, Sea of Galilee. Sometime between 3 and 6 in the morning. Then the question the reporter would ask, well, what were those men even doing out there in a boat so early in the morning? And then another, well, who actually are those men in the boat? Then another, what about the boat? Was it really built to hold so many people? Could it withstand the wind? Perhaps then we'd have to pull in a boat builder to interview him. And then friends of the disciple, well, they would be roused from sleep, of course, to get information on each as to what they were doing out there. They'd get their backstories. And why had Peter stepped out of a perfectly good boat in that situation? Well, a psychologist would have to be called, an expert on the behavior of fishermen, northern Galilean fishermen, to explain what would drive Peter to do such a thing, perhaps exhaustion. Then, of course, we need to cut to a weather person to relate when the storm would be over. Perhaps then even an activist would be found who would complain about the working conditions around the Sea of Galilee in general, and that such fishermen would not be out on the sea at such an hour if fish prices were higher, or some such thing. Sociologists would then be consulted about the basic social structure in the towns around the Sea of Galilee. Did children grow up there have a future in anything but fishing? Something different than scraping out their living in such a way? Now, producer in California, seeing the whole thing unfold, might begin to think, hey, this would make a great reality series. Something along the lines of Deadliest Catch, following the day-to-day activities of the fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. And of course, once the disciples got to shore, there'd be interviews and contract offers, advertising opportunities, and lost in all the din of the world scrambling somehow to get something out of this incident. Advertising dollars, reputations, careers would be the words of Jesus, and Peter's need, our need, to trust those words. But the same thing happens in our lives, doesn't it? The same thing happens when the world seems to overwhelm the Word of God. I mean, life's going along fine one moment, and then the next we find ourselves in a hospital bed staring up at a ceiling. Or flying in a plane to a funeral. Or staring at a pink slip that tells us we don't have a job. Or at our cars, it's being hauled away on the back of a flatbed wrecker. And we think for a moment that we simply need to trust the words of Jesus, to believe the word of God like that of Psalm 34. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Okay, we think, bolstered by the word of God. What's happening to me? It's no different than Peter trusting in the word of Jesus. Yes, there was wind. Yes, there were waves. Yes, it was water that Peter would be walking on. But Peter trusted, at least initially, in Jesus, and so will I right here, right now. But then our flesh cries out, but why did it happen to you? Why did it happen to you specifically? What are you going to do now? What's going to happen now? What are you going to do? What can you do? Yes, our flesh creates such a context for us for the Word of God. But we ignore it. We trust. We believe. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. But then the devil comes to us with one simple little thought. Oh, does he now? Does God really do that? You know, Christians die just like non-Christians. Christians suffer all sorts of troubles, even more trouble sometimes than non-Christians. What makes you so sure that your situation is going to come out all right? Yes, they've come out in the past, but this time? This time? Such a moment, we need to turn to the Word of God, to one of Clay's favorite passages, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, your own thoughts, your own feelings, your own emotions. And this is similar to another sentence with which we're familiar, that is that we are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. That's the meaning of the first commandment that we find in the small catechism. You know, the first commandment, what? You shall have no other gods. You see, when we run into trouble, and we do and will run into trouble because we live in the world and we let our heart, our emotions, our feelings, even our common sense take over, so what do? Then we ignore the Word of God, or we listen to the world, which would provide some sort of political or psychological or sociological or any other logical type of interpretation of the Word of God so that it becomes meaningless to us, or we even listen to the devil and therefore doubt the Word of God, all that we are doing is breaking the first commandment. How so? We're fearing and loving and trusting in ourselves. We're fearing and loving and trusting the world. We're fearing and loving and trusting even the devil above God himself. So how comforting, how wonderful, how amazing that when faced with the very same situation, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he didn't falter as we have and as we can do. As you remember, Satan himself came to Jesus in the wilderness and promised him, promised Jesus literally the world. The world as Jesus was suffering. There the Son of God had become the Son of Man in order to take back humankind from the prince of this world, Satan. And Satan offered the world to Jesus as Jesus suffered there in the wilderness. If only Jesus would do what completely would destroy his mission, and that is worship the devil. Jesus had to deal with the world as well, didn't he? The world trying to figure out who he was, trying to use him in some way for its purposes, trying to benefit from him, in short, trying to contextualize him completely out of his existence as the very Son of God, come into the world to save us from our sin against the first commandment of not trusting in God. And of course, the human nature of Christ also provided a challenge, didn't it, to Jesus? In the garden there, suffering, asking his Father in heaven to take the cup of suffering from him. But as we know, that cup of suffering was not taken from Jesus. And the end result was his crucifixion, his death. But think about the result of that crucifixion, the suffering of Christ, the situation he found himself in there on the cross. Did it not mean the salvation of all mankind? Did it not mean the forgiveness of sin? Life and salvation for all who believe in him. For you, for me, for the times when we don't trust but doubt. Didn't it mean the pouring out of the Holy Spirit into our hearts so that faith can be worked and is worked there through his holy word? Didn't it mean that Christ would be raised from the dead and indeed he was never to die again? Yes, it meant all of these things, and all of these things occurred even through his suffering and death, because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he didn't listen to the devil who'd derail him. He wasn't overcome by the world which would redefine him and use him, and he didn't serve his human nature by rescuing it from suffering and death, but instead our Lord and Savior simply what? He trusted the word of God. He trusted that what his Father said to him was true. He trusted, our Savior trusted, that many indeed are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all, even if that deliverance involves our own suffering and death. Of course, when Jesus spoke to Peter there on the Sea of Galilee, it was God speaking to Peter, wasn't it? God with us, Emmanuel. And God became man in Jesus so that he could speak with us, in our trouble, in our trials, in our pains, like any other human being. Do not doubt. Trust. Trust me. Trust my word. Believe in me. Your sins are forgiven. Of course, when God came down on Mount Sinai, it was thunder, lightning, earthquake, trumpet blast, creating such fear that the children of Israel thought that if they had to hear the voice of God, they would die. So God becomes man in Jesus Christ, not only so that he could suffer and die for our sins on the cross, but so that in the process he could talk to us as one human being to another to show us that he indeed wishes to bring us through all of our afflictions and take us ultimately to himself in heaven. He therefore presented himself to the disciples as nothing other than the human being he was. And yet by walking on water and controlling the wind, he demonstrated that he was much more than that. He was very God himself. So enough of our doubt. Enough of our lack of trust. Enough of allowing our flesh and the world and even Satan himself to somehow destroy our trust, our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As he bid Peter to walk through the waves toward him, not to doubt, but to trust in him, so he bids us every day to do exactly the same thing. Or in effect, that is our daily life as Christians. It's a walking on water through the storms of life, trusting always the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come to him. Amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.